welcome to Looking Back Through the Files of the Bunyip for Wednesday, the 12th of November.
Oh, November already.
Yes, indeed. And I'm here with Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hello, Jeanette.
And you're in the downstairs underneath the Gawler Civic Centre in the Gawler Culture Heritage Centre.
Yes, and we're in the midst of the Cultural and Heritage Centre with all of the valuable
heritage all around us.
Absolutely. It's just a wonderful place to be and such a wealth of information if you can find it, which is what we're doing as volunteers is gradually sorting through and identifying what's here and where to find it.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's good.
And helping people. It's a fantastic resource. And Gawler's very lucky to have this resource.
Oh, absolutely. Very lucky. Yep.
So 150 years ago, street watering. Sir, now the summer is rapidly coming in. Clouds of dust are already sweeping Murray Street. I hope for the sake of modern Athens that the corporation will at once take the necessary steps to have the streets watered.
It would have been very dusty.
Yeah, we wouldn't have that problem this year.
Gosh, no, it's been quite...
Yes, with all the streets just gravel.
Yeah, everything would have been so dusty.
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed the difference when we moved from the farm where we had just dusty paddocks and a dirt road. And now I live off a sealed road, even though I'm surrounded by dusty paddocks, but even just a sealed road makes such a difference. So very grateful. 100 years ago, compulsory voting. This is the final week before polling day and the air will be thick as a snowstorm with adjurations as to whom to vote for and how to do it. This poll will be unique in history as the first poll at which the whole of the population of Australia will or should record its will on matters of political moment and interest. Prior to this poll, voting was not compulsory. Now you must vote willy-nilly. When they say the whole of the population of Australia, except for the Indigenous population, which I found out this morning was actually a decision made earlier about whether women should be allowed to vote or whether the Indigenous should be allowed to vote. And it came down to one person who said it's got to be the women that are allowed to vote. So there was actually an either-or position. And I think it was Annabelle Crabb's program last night on iView, ABC iView. So I must
because South Australia, Indigenous people could vote up until Federation. They lost the vote with Federation.
That might have been that kind of decision as to whether, well, we'll allow the women, but we're not sure about the Indigenous.
Because they were taking the vote away from them in South Australia, in the case of South Australia, which is interesting.
Unfair.
Yeah, very, very unfair.
Very unfair.
The whole thing was massively unfair. But
still here we are.
Yes. Australia was, I don't know if Australia was the first country in the world to bring in compulsory voting, but we're still only, I think...
Not many countries have compulsory voting.
It's only a couple of other countries.
But I think that's part of our robust system.
I
think our democracy is very sound.
Yes, and compulsory voting.
So you're compelled to... in a democracy, you're compelled to vote. You know, there's something a little bit awry with that, you know, but you're not compelled to vote. You're compelled to have your name registered as having voted. Whether you actually exercise a vote or not is... not something that anyone can actually force you to do, because what you do in the privacy of your own polling
booth
is
little booth,
your little booth is up to you.
But if you appreciate the struggle that it took to get, first of all, just general manhood suffrage.
Full suffrage,
and then full...
And women's suffrage.
And women's suffrage.
And then Indigenous
suffrage. I didn't realise actually in England in World War One, most of the men fighting and dying couldn't vote. They're fighting and dying for a country they didn't have a vote in.
Because they weren't landowners.
No, because they weren't landowners. Yep. I just find that appalling. Anyway, 50 years ago, Carol's Crown named Miss Gawler at a glittering ball. At a glittering ball last Saturday night, 400 people saw the crowning of Miss Gawler 1976, Miss Carol's Fenton, sponsored by Colonial Rooster. 14 entrants were judged at Mr. Harry Brown's residence by Dr. and Mrs. Frank White, Mrs. Lynn Anders, Miss South Australia 1975, Miss Marilyn Mobile, and an official of the SCOSA, S-C-O-S-A, from Adelaide. Yes.
Spastic Councils of South Australia.
Okay, right.
Because the Miss South Australia was always a fundraiser for the Spastic Society. Later renamed Crippled Children's, later renamed Novita. meaning new life.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, it had to move away from the appellations of disabled. And although he still got writing for the disabled, which I was part of for a long time. 25 years ago, TV ceased to be filmed here. The historic Kingsford homestead north of Gawler is expected to be used in filming of a new Australian drama series announced by Channel 9 this week. The series is McLeod's Daughters, a new primetime 22-part Australian drama series to premiere in 2001. Wow, 25 years ago. And they went on to do how many series? They did
six series. For quite a while.
And Channel 9 actually bought Kingsford and had it adapted for their own filming uses. And they only sold it, they did sell it a few years ago. But
I don't know if the Reading dress is still on display up at the Visitor Information Centre, but it was originally in the dry cleaners.
It was in the dry cleaner for a long time.
And then it moved up to the VIC.
Oh, did it? Right.
Yes, and I think it's still there.
Is it still there? Yeah, it was a really great thing for Adelaide.
It was, and for this region. It brought a lot of... And areas of the region that people wouldn't normally go to, because they go to the Barossa.
Yeah.
But it was drawing people over to the sort of light area as well, which is lovely.
And Freeling.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I know there was a hotel in Two Wills that they were going to use for filming. Might not have been McLeod's Daughters, but I think it was. And so they got some funding from the producers to... You know, we're going to go here. So the first thing they did was they ripped down their old bullnose veranda and put a new one in. The producer said, no, we wanted the old one, so we're not going to film there anymore. So they didn't use it as a venue, but it's got a nice veranda now.
Yeah. But that rustic look is what...
That was what they were looking for, was the rustic look. And then they said, now we can upgrade.
I did see them filming in the car wash one day.
McLeod's
Daughters in the car wash. I'm sure it was McLeod's Daughters. It was all the vans and everything.
Oh, wow. So. What would you be filming? Oh, maybe just cleaning the vans.
They also filmed on my friend's property up at Kilbeba.
Oh, yes.
Used their paddocks a few times. Yeah. They got permission to film there. And
one more.
Winery honoured by visit. Seppeltfold Winery staff were honoured to have the future King of England on their doorstep and experiencing the best of the Barossa yesterday. Prince Charles and his wife Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall, had the pleasure of tasting 100-year-old wines, their birth year tourney points, and meeting a collection of artisans from the jam factory. It's funny because I was talking about that exact visit yesterday when we were up in the Barossa. And I had to go to the Barossa on that day for something else, and I couldn't get a park.
Oh, my goodness.
And then all the traffic was diverted.
Oh, because of Charles and Camilla.
Yeah, so it was funny. It must have been 10 years ago almost to the day that I was back in the Barossa.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, that's it.
Yeah, that is it for this week.
And what an interesting little bunyip this week.
It has been. Nice, diverse stories.
Yes. Very good.
Okay, until next week.
Until then.
For all life's signs.